Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
This morning, as I was just waiting on the Lord, about 6 o'clock or so this morning, it laid on my heart that we needed to pray for miracles in here. I was asking him for miracles. He said, well, you need to expect them. I wonder if there's some people here that need a miracle in your life. Hold your hand up there. No sense in being ashamed. Come on. All right. I think we're far enough along. Go ahead. Hold it up there. Just another moment or so. I'd like for somebody to step close to them. God wants to use you today in prayer. Come on. Step close to them. You don't have to get in their face. Just put a hand on their shoulder. Don't beat them to death. Got somebody up here. Come on, church. Praise you, Lord. Come on now, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you're a God of the miraculous. You do more than we could even ask or think. But we thank you this morning that as we come into this house, it can be a place of miracles. It can be a place of change, a place of deliverance, a place where you set us free. And according to your word, your spoken word this morning, your alive word in our lives, we ask this morning for miracles to take place across this sanctuary, bodies to be healed, finances to be transformed by your power. We come to you in the name of Jesus, not in our own name. We come in Jesus' name to you. And we are asking this morning for miracles to take place in this house. Thank you, Lord. Your word is still true. You have not changed. And you proclaimed, I am the God who heals you. You're the one who said, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. You were the one who said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Lord, we're knocking today. We're believing today that there will be miracles across this sanctuary. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, those of you that had your hands up, would you begin to thank him for the miracle? Begin to praise him and thank him that the miracle that he's promised is on its way. Praise you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for those that are watching us online this morning that are in need of miracles in their life. You're not bound by spaces. And we pray right now that your hand would just come down right now in that room, in that hospital, and wherever that person may be. In Jesus' name, may your power be released. And miracles happen. And all the praise and all the glory will come to you, Lord Jesus. And the church said, amen, amen. That means so let it be. Glory. You may be seated. Our ushers are coming and they're going to ush today. We're turning them loose. They're going to pass this round plate in front of you. And when they do, you have the privilege of putting something into it. And I can tell you from personal experience and from seeing many lives, there's blessings that follow giving. Amen? How many have experienced the blessings of the Lord? Comes as we give. He said, given it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I like the last part. Shall men give unto your bosom? That means he's going to shake the tree. Praise God. Father in heaven, receive from us right now, and may you be honored and glorified in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you as you give. Thank you, Shannon. Bless you. Well, glory. Hey, I hope you're getting a bulletin. You need a bulletin. Lots of things are starting back up. Last night we had just a wonderful time. The teenagers were out here in the shelter house, and we had 31 teenagers and a fantastic time. Amen. I know there's a few more of you that are teenagers and you just don't want to admit it. But we would welcome you to come and be a part of these things because they're just a lot of fun sitting around and telling everybody all what you, where you hurt. No, I was telling somebody was telling some fish stories, you know, and Rick was sitting close to me there, and the fish story started off like this, and then it went to this, and fish, he said, wow, that fish grew while we were standing here in the conversation. So you just never know what will happen. You get a bunch of young people together. Amen? Right, Larry? The very first article in your bulletin, if you did happen to get a bulletin, mentions that it says, starting next Sunday and for some weeks this summer, we will be having our service in the gym. That's a lie. No, it was our intention, and as many of you know, we are having all kinds of light problems, and it was our hope that we would be able to get things started this week, but because of COVID, what used to take 3 to 5 days to get in is now taking 6 to 8 weeks to get in. So what we're going to do, we're going to prepare everything in the gym for us to move. And so you may come in 1 week, and if things are here and it's ready to move forward, then we'll all scoot down there. So how many feel flexible? Those of you that have arthritis of the brain will catch up. So yes. Anyway, we're looking forward to getting things. I mean, I know that probably you don't think about these things, but they're on my mind continually because of the problems that we are having with all of our lighting systems here. We never know if they'll come on. So it's this little things. 2 Sundays ago, when all of you left, there were 2 lights that refused to go out. And so we have all kinds of interesting things happening. Never know exactly what's going to transpire, but God has blessed us with the sale of the parsonage, and we're going to be able to move forward on getting the lighting. So praise the Lord. His provisions are always on time, right? I said his provisions are always on time, right? Amen. 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 All right, well, my wife told me yesterday as we were coming home from the teenager event, she said, I hope that you have something really encouraging to preach tomorrow morning. So I'll do my best. We're talking this morning about sin. Not sinners, but sin. And we need to recognize that until we sin, we're not sinners. And you can think about it, that's really profound. But you're not a sinner until you sin. Sin needs a sinner. But the reality is that sin itself, which is basically defined as rebellion against God, has consequences. We need to recognize the consequences that are connected to sin, and it might just help us to stay away from the sin and not be a sinner. How many want to stay away from sin? I hope by the end of this message that all of you want to. Still a few in here that wants. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I need to mention this to you. Jim, did we say the 20th? Okay, that's the 13th. All right, so next Sunday, we are going to be starting our Adult Spirit Quest class. Just the adult one. It will be at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Brother Jim is going to be teaching it, and you are welcome to come, take part. It will be in the fellowship hall, a great time of gathering around the Word, and I know he's excited, and I think those who were part of it before, come on out. It won't hurt to spend more than an hour here in the church. Come on. I'll be very honest to goodness. We need more time. We need more time together. We can't be the church. We can't accomplish what God wants without spending some time together. It's just the reality. So, come on. Be with us. We also have a Wednesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock. We come in, sing a little bit, pray a little bit, maybe a lot of bit sometimes, and we study the Word. And it's a great time, not just a fellowship, but a great time to take another step forward in your life. Come on, folks. It won't hurt. It's not real painful. Okay, into commercials. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to Genesis chapter 3. We might as well take this from the beginning of where it all started. Adam and Eve. In spite of the fact that we're living in an I did it my way generation, it seems to be we're proud of the fact that we are ordering our lives according to our own fashion and desire and design. The reality is, this is God's world. This is God's world. We are God's creation. God's way is the right way. These are easy ones. If you can't say amen to some of these, then you need to check your spiritual stuff. You see, since man decided to rebel against God and do what he desired instead of what God commanded, there have been consequences. The consequences are nailed to the sin. I just want you to understand that this morning. You see, this is the way that God can love the world and hate sin. We all know, God so loved the world that he sent his son. See, it seems like a paradox that he can love the world and yet hate sin. It is because they're really two separate things. Rebellion against God, though it comes so natural to us and has been imputed to us from Adam and Eve, that is, the propensity or the design or the desire to sin has come to us and comes so naturally to us, and yet at the same time, we weren't created for sin. We were created to walk after God. That step of rebellion, if you will, that Adam and Eve took, introduced into the world this knowledge of good and evil to where it became a selection for us. Think about it before the fall, before Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit. All they knew was God's way. Walking with Him, talking with Him, communing with Him, following His command. Adam was busy naming all the animals, which is what God told him to do. They were about the work of God. And then rebellion came into it and brought that immediate consequence to that rebellion. By the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus, sin no longer rules. The power of sin is broken. Now we like to think, you know, I just can't help myself. If you are a believer, yes, you can in Jesus. That's what the I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is all about. Sin does not have rule over your life. It is a separate entity that you have to very deliberately choose. Because the imputed sin of Adam has been broken in your life, and so everything from this point forward is desired sin. I want you to see this morning the consequences of sin, but before we get there, I read a little story about Calvin Coolidge. He used to go to church. I don't know if it was just a form or what it was, but he returned one Sunday after a Sunday morning service. And he was asked by his wife, well, you know, what did the preacher talk about? Coolidge said, sin. And of course, wanting to know more, why she didn't go to church, I don't know, but that's another point. Wanting to know more, she began to press him about what the preacher said. And he being a man, and a man of few words, Coolidge responded, I think he was against it. So you may walk out of here today with that summation. Well, he preached on sin, and I think he's against it. I am, because sin has consequences. We're going to kind of package this in three different parts today. I want you to talk about, we're going to talk about caught, cursed, and castigated. Okay? So caught. Caught. There's a moment of truth when sin becomes personal. For Adam, in verse number 11, God said to Adam, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? It was as though with their rebellion, with stepping out and doing what God told them not to do, if you remember, their major concern was, we're naked. Man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And the man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. That moment of truth when sin becomes personal. Now, you see, many times at the moment of the event, because we have so transformed the rebellion into our right, our privilege, our self-justification, that we refuse to recognize that something is sin, and we go for it. But I would venture to say this morning that there is a moment of truth in every single one of our lives where we know. I'm calling that caught. For Cain, it was in Genesis 4:9, where is your brother? For Samson, in Judges 16:20, he awoke, shook himself as before, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. You should look at Samson's life, because there is an example of somebody who played with sin. He messed around with it. He was a Nazarite from birth. God had given the mandate to his parents that he was to be set apart. Remember when he saw the honey inside the bear and dipped in and got him a handful? He knew he wasn't supposed to have it. He didn't tell his parents where it came from. Moment of truth. You can't play with sin, church. It has consequences. And sooner or later, at some place, maybe even in a service like this, all of a sudden your sin reaches out, it illuminates, and you're caught. For David, this one's always amazed me. David and Bathsheba, how many have ever heard of that? Yeah. He went through all of that as a right of a king. Wasn't until Nathan came. You're the man. Told him a story. David was infuriated over a man who had taken another man's little lamb when he had all the sheep of his own. Nathan said, you are the man. And it says, and immediately David was struck. Listen to me, there is nothing like being caught by sin. Huh? In that moment, you know, when you're on the telephone and you're just rattling away, gossiping and carrying on, may not dawn on you. Then all of a sudden you hang up that receiver and the Holy Spirit says, that's not the character of a woman or a man of God. And in that moment, you recognize the penalty, the consequence of sin itself. Hurts, doesn't it? You see, the pleasure of some sin shields the reality of that sin. It's deceptive. We might as well be truthful in here to say that a lot of sin is pleasurable. It can be fun. It can bring on fun. It can loosen up the tight, set them free. It can be a way of relaxing, getting the pressure off. You see, we want to dress it up as being ugly so that we will identify it all the time as being this ugly thing sitting over there. Listen to me. The fruit that was the forbidden fruit, I believe, was the best looking fruit in the garden. How do I know that? Because she says it was desirable to eat. She had a garden full of food. But there was something about that tree, something about that fruit that just reached out and said, you gotta try me. Numbers 32:23 says, you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Now, church, listen, that's not talking just about other people finding out about your sin. That's talking that your sin will find you out. You will be caught by the sin itself. And honestly, being caught by sin and reckoning and realizing that sin brings penalty is as great as other people finding out. The emotions of being caught in sin are often present, but sometimes fleeting. When we're caught with sin, tears may flow, tears of regret and sorrow. With Adam and Eve, it was fear. Imagine that. They experienced fear for the very first time following their act of rebellion. How many have ever been afraid? It's a pretty crippling emotion. They were experiencing fear for the very first time. I don't know what happened. I haven't had a chance to ask Sharon, but like about 3-something this morning, there was a loud bang of some sort. Was it you? I don't know who it was. It doesn't take too much to wake me up anyway, but this loud bang woke up, and I woke up, and I'm sitting there continuing to listen with one ear. And finally, then, the listening didn't raise any or settle down any suspicions, and so then I got up and made a walk through the house. I was completely awake. Don't know what it was. May have been a cicada running into the house. I don't know. Let me give you another emotion. Shame. Sometimes the shame can be crippling. You see, because especially if you know that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, if you walk in the Lord Jesus and the power of His Spirit, if you know His Spirit and His love and His forgiveness in your life, and then sin is embraced, the shame sometimes is overwhelming. Fear and shame often give way to self-justification. Huh? How many know what that big word means, self-justification? That means we start giving all the reasons why we failed, we sinned. To justify our actions, take the load off of the shame and the fear and everything that goes along with the sin. We want to lessen that. Let me just stop right here to tell you, Jesus will lessen that. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When sin has entered your life and fear and shame come in, you are caught in your sin, learn quickly to come to Jesus. Don't try to come to Him with excuses. He knows all the reasons why you came and you fell. Come to Jesus. Bear your sin to Jesus. He paid the price to lift the load of fear and shame and all that goes along with all the consequences of sin. He has come into our lives to lift that off. The longer that we wait from that moment of being caught to the moment we come to Jesus, we are suffering in agony for naught. Come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. there was a little girl. Well, her mommy was gone. I understand this happens a lot. But she decided to cut her own hair while her mommy was gone. Found the scissors, decided to do her own hairdo. So she, of course, did a magnificent job, patchwork all over her head. When her mommy got home, she was just horrified to see her child. And the little girl said, "But mommy, how did you know? I hid all the hair very carefully in the wastebasket." You know, I think sometimes that's the way we come to the Lord. "How'd you catch me? I hid it. Nobody else knows." He knows. So don't come self-justifying, but come humbly before the Lord. Second consequence of sin is cursed. That's a monster. To Eve, or women, verse number 16 says, "I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing, and with pain you'll give birth to children." Ladies, don't you wonder what childbirth would have been like? Those of you that have birthed a child, don't you wonder what childbirth would have been like before sin? Whoosh. I don't know. But a curse came onto that. And guys, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat your food all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Guys, don't you wonder what work would be like, or would have been like, without sin attached? No sweat, no burden, no struggle, no difficulty. Work is a privilege. Work in itself is not a curse. You may think it is, but it's not. It is the load that sin has put down onto work that makes it a curse. When you roll out in the morning, I got to go do this again. Don't get mad at God. Get mad at sin. Because sin is what carries the curse. Oh, if we could just get mad at sin. So mad at sin that we would look for it, that we would watch for it trying to come into our lives, realizing that everything about it is bad. Sin's bad. It's not going to do me any good. It may have a bit of pleasure for a season, but it ultimately is going to cost, because there are consequences attached to it. Oh, and we want to say Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Oh, I know that sin causes death. Church, we need to understand what kind of death. Actually, death of the body is probably the most releasing of all the deaths that sin causes. There is death to confidence, death to innocence, death to dignity, death to reputation, death to testimony, death to courage, death to power, death to relationships, and, of course, death of the body. I wrote an ode to death. I don't have anybody to blame this on. This is mine. "O death, you robber of all that is known, O death, your penalty for transgressions is too great to bear. O death, you leave in your wake sorrows beyond comfort. O death, yours is not the last word. O death, at an empty tomb you were defeated. O death, in Christ Jesus, you exist no more. Because my Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sin is cursed. When you let sin reign in your body, the consequences of sin are upon you. That's tough for us to own, especially if we are living with a sin that we have put off to the side that maybe nobody else knows about, but we are preserving and protecting that sin through self-justification. I'm only human. Well, God knows I can't stand up against this. No, God knows you can stand against it. And when you fall, you can own it and be forgiven and be set free from the consequences of that sin. But if you allow sin to reign in your mortal body, then the consequence of sin reigns in your mortal body. The Lord, by His forgiveness, can make all things new. He wants to keep you and set you free. Do you believe that? But you have to want to be free. And I believe that the reason for this message this morning is that the Lord wants you to see the ugliness of sin, that you would separate yourself from it. The third consequence is castigated. That means cut off. You see, when sin reigns in a life, there is separation from God. Not because God wants it, but because sin has been chosen over the way of God. Verse 22 of Genesis 3. Man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. When there is sin between man and God, when man holds on and embraces sin, it separates him from the God of life and the tree of life. Man is banished from the garden and from the provisions of God. Verse 23, so God banished him from the Garden of Eden. That word banished, thrown out. God removed them from his place of provision, place of blessing, place of his presence. Man, by sin, was driven away from fellowship and provision with God. It says in verse 24, after he drove the many out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Imagine some things with me for a moment. Imagine the peril that Adam and Eve felt. They had been in communion with God. They had been in the safety of the garden. Everything that they needed in their life was provided for by God there in the garden. And now they're kicked out. And a flaming sword is placed so they can't get back in. They wouldn't have had any house. They wouldn't have had a garden prepared. They would have been empty and void. Can I tell you today, that is a description of the life without God. The only difference is that there are enough trappings around here in this world to make people think that it's all okay to be without God. Adam and Eve, immediately realized their lives had just changed dramatically. Imagine the sense of rejection. Imagine the emptiness at the loss of God's presence. Imagine the day that they felt fear and God wasn't around to explain to them what was happening. Those same animals that Adam named are now predators, because as sin came into the world, all of creation was changed. Those animals that used to be his friend are now hunting him for food. Everything changes with sin, church. There are consequences to sin. Genesis 5:28, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son and he named him Noah. And listen, he said, and he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground that the Lord has cursed. Adam lived 930 years. He saw the birth of 10 generations, held them on his knee. Can you imagine telling your children and your children's children to the 10th generation, you're going to have to work and labor in pain because of a choice that I made? And Eve telling all of her granddaughters, I'm sorry, but my choice in the garden of God's provisions opened the door. And whenever you birth a child, it's going to be by pain. And your desire, your allegiance, your servitude will be to your husband all the days of your life. It's not the way God ordained it, but it happened because of the sin and rebellion that we chose. 930 years he lived with the consequences of his own sin. The fall of man was a choice. They chose sin over the Word of God. That choice opened the door to sin and every man and woman born into this world. Again, sin is rebellion against God. And church, sin has consequences. But Jesus came. Up on the balcony, Jesus came. Hear me. He did not come to give us an excuse to sin. He came to bring us freedom from sin. Huge difference. But that's where the power lies. In freedom from sin. Not freedom to sin. His grace, oh, marvelous, amazing grace, was not freedom to sin, but freedom from sin. Because sin has consequences. Stand with me, please. Ah. Whether it's one sin or if it's many sins, Jesus is passing this way. Remember that song that Billy Graham always closed his meetings with? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, I come. Still true. Jesus wants to lift the guilt, the shame, the fear of an eternity without God, he wants to take it all away. He wants to close the gap of that separation that exists by sin. He wants to bring you home. We learn from the prodigal son. The father runs to meet those who will come back in repentance. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't know that that's fair this morning, because the Lord already knows. I do want to pray over you. I want to pray for those that may be pretending that they can have sin in their lives and still have the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord and the power of the Lord in their life. They don't go together, because sin has consequences. But the good news is that Jesus is here to forgive. And if you will be honest this morning before him, he'll lift that burden, that shame, that fear, and all the consequences off of your life. And you know what? Open back up the garden. remove the fiery flame and say, I go to prepare a place for you. That's pretty good news to me. Hallelujah. Come on. Father in heaven, thank you this morning that you made a provision even though we have been rebellious against you. I say we this morning because I'm pretty confident that everybody standing in this room has, at least at some point in their life, sinned. I think if we're honest this morning, we can all relate to the truth of being caught, just like you caught Adam and Eve and realized immediately what they had done and grieved over the consequences of their sin. Help us, O Lord, this morning to realize that you grieve over the consequences of our sin. You grieved so much and you love us so much that you sent Jesus to pay the price so that we could be set free. I pray for those that are in this sanctuary this morning that know that sin has been invited into their life like a guest. Perhaps by the pleasure, the release, the moments. But they've invited that sin into their life, ignoring the consequences. But today, your Holy Spirit has illuminated that sin once again. They're caught once again. I pray, Lord, that they would not walk out of this house with that sin bearing down upon their life and the consequences of those sins. But God, that they would turn that sin to you and find freedom. And they'd walk from this house today forgiven, yes, but free from the bondage of that sin. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take the message home to each of our lives, that we do not have to sin because of your sacrifice. And when we choose to sin, you're ready to receive us back. If we'll confess that sin, you will forgive that sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, right here, right now, before we say the amen, hear our prayers of confession before your throne and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Is there anybody in this house that is thankful this morning for the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus? Could we just take a moment and lift our hands and hearts heavenward and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for lifting the penalty of sin off of our lives. Thank you for bringing us freedom. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Hey, church, isn't God good? Oh, he's so good. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Several of you are going to eat with us today, and we're looking forward to going back there. Now, what we're going to do here, I want to say one more prayer to just bless the food. And if you signed up to be with us back there, I think we do have some extra food. If you want to hang around, we're going to get all the people through who made their reservation, and then I'm sure there will be food left over for some others. But we're going to say a prayer right now, and then if you would, go to the through the fellowship hall and down the hallway on the east side, and right in there, and the gals are going to be ready, and they'll fill up a plate of food for you, and stick around long enough to talk to somebody. Get to know somebody that you don't know today. There's some good people here. You just get to know them. Who knows? They might be your relative. You just never found them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we've had this hour together, and thank you that we get to eat together. May your blessings be upon the food and upon our fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.